Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, February 9th, 2013. And it's my great pleasure today to be interviewing Dr. PMH Atwater, who you may know as one of the world's leading researchers on the subject of near-death experiences. And Dr. Atwater has pioneered research in NDEs, as they are called. And after her own experience with three different near-death experiences back in 1977, she has written 10 books on the subject. One of those books is an international bestseller called Future Memory, and it's on my personal top 10 list of favorite books. It's what I consider a classic worthy of reviewing every year or so. And today I'll be interviewing Dr. Atwater in regard to her new book, Children of the Fifth World, A Guide to the Coming Changes in Human Consciousness. Children of the Fifth World is available on Amazon, and if you read some of the stellar reviews, you'll find that famous NDE researcher Brad Steiger, who says that Children of the Fifth World is a masterwork, and it may well be the most important book in the consciousness field in the last 20 years. Quite a testimonial there. And in this book, Dr. Atwater explains that the past 30 years have seen a quantum leap in the intuitive, creative, and abstract thinking abilities of children, as well as an unprecedented rise in incidences of ADHD, dyslexia, and autism spectral disorders. As Dr. Atwater explains, we are witnessing evolution at work. The changes in consciousness and brain function evident in these new kids signal the widespread emergence of the fifth root race, and fortuitously coincide with our transition into the fifth world, which we'll be going into. Many listeners of Cosmic Love are well aware of the esoteric histories of references to the fifth root race, and I'm sure you will be very interested to hear what Dr. Atwater has to say about the fifth world, as the fifth root race is prophesied by Edgar Cayce and messengers of the masters in the Theosophical movement. Dr. Atwater, thank you so much for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Well, it's my privilege and my pleasure.
I've been looking forward to this. I'd like to go right into this Fifth
Sure.
World book. And I believe it's a window into the conscious evolution revolution that humanity is going through right now.
Yes, and it's written like a new kid. That means it's irreverent. It's a little snippy. And you just turn those pages, you just flip right through them, and it just gets you.
Yeah, it sure got me. I've been reading it, and really, there's parts of it that just jump right out of me, that this is really timely. It's just a good overview of what's going on with conscious evolution on the planet. I'd like to go right into it. For those listening who would like more background on Dr. Atwater, there's a good YouTube video that I've posted on the Cosmic Love homepage and the archives for the show. If you're listening or looking at the archives in the future, you'll have that video you can watch. So I'm going to go right into this. One of the things that really fascinates me of how you go into in the book, how children today are different ever since around 1982. Which I find real interesting, because that's when the computer internet revolution was really taking off.
That's when it began. That's
yeah.
The very year.
And it's just like there's no the whole thrust of that revolution on the outer has been that there's no time or space. It's like an instant everywhere interactive global village. And you go into that, it's saying that this is the first generation to view the world through a screen.
that really stops you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has to stop there and realize that children born since 1982, their first view of the world was through a screen.
Yeah.
And you just have to stop there, because that just catches you.
And it's just that whole, where do you want to go in the world today?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole, and it's of course it's beyond the TV screen. It's, you know, this thing with the internet is and social networks and
cell phones and iPads,
cell phones and
on
it's just,
and on.
It's just this connection. And of course, there's the upside and the downside of that. And there's part of it is, you know, there's you mentioned that we're losing touch with empathy, how technology is outpacing biology.
And that's big. Because
yeah.
we're losing language, we're losing empathy, we're losing feelings, we're losing respect. You know, if a guy wants to break up with a gal or vice versa, they just simply do so over their cell phone
an email.
You know, or the email and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no responsibility for
yeah.
what you've done. There's no desire to be with that person and talk about it, discuss it, or even be there for their response, whatever it is. You
yeah.
just take off into the sunset.
There's a level of impersonal, I call it the impersonal impersonality, where it's and it is kind of like the four agreements, where you know, take nothing personally. That's you might say the good side of it. Of course, there's a good side and a dark side to all of this, and that's one of the things I like about your book. You go into the
I do both.
You do both, and it's really, I think, important to understand that what's and what the coming of the fifth world and all the dimensions of this understanding of, I mean, the fifth dimension, the fifth world, there's in your book you have a really interesting section on this, and I thought I'd kind of highlight that, you know, the coming of the fifth world.
Well, before we do, if
okay.
you will allow me, I'd like to set a stage here and give us some grounding about
okay.
the new kids and evolution and genetics and this kind of thing, because I think it's so important.
Oh, yeah.
What I invite your listening audience to do is take all those labels, you know, indigo, crystal, starseed, rainbow, cosmic, psychic, you know, all those labels, and toss them. Toss every single one of them. They are all misleading or they are exaggerated. Then take those characteristics, those labels supposedly described, bunch all the characteristics together, and you have the new kids. Certainly some are going to be more have more traits than others, but what we're forgetting here, what the prognosticators are forgetting, is that when the tide comes in, all boats rise.
Yeah, that jumps out at me too. In your book.
You
yeah.
know, that is a very, very big deal. Now, I want to clear the air here. The pattern of the fifth root race, and they are highly creative, intuitive, intellectual, or not intellectual, but high intelligence. They're multi-sensory, multi-channelers who live in a multiverse. They're very knowing. Many of them remember past lives. So, you know, I could go on and on and on about these kids. That pattern, and it's the pattern of the fifth root race, not the sixth. It's the pattern of the fifth one. You can trace that back to some of the people that existed during the time of Jesus. Not that many, but some. All of the renaissances the world has ever known had clusters and sweeps of this type of pattern. It's
mm-hmm.
like, what do you, you know, where do you think all the energy and talent for that renaissance came from? It's like,
yeah.
wake up, folks, that came from the fifth root race. A lot of them then, huge sweeps, began to enter in the 1800s. And then from 1840 on, so just before the Civil War and after, we get the birth of the New Thought movement. These
yeah.
people who absolutely refuse to allow any religion to do their thinking for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this idea of gnosis and direct revelation. And those people began in earnest, certainly in the early 1800s, but from 1840 on. So when we're talking about the new kids, we could also be saying that your great-grandpa was a new kid, you know?
Yeah.
You're probably a new kid. Certainly
oh, yeah.
your grandmother probably was, you know? We're not just talking about these new little kids just now being born. But what distinguishes these generations is. In about 1982, the floodgates opened wide.
Yeah.
What we're now seeing is evolution at work, because we're moving into ascension. Ascension simply means the rise and fullness of a particular pattern.
Conscious evolution, yeah.
Right. The fifth root race has finally overspread land masses and population groups. That's what we mean by ascension. They are moving into ascension. They are taking over. They are us. This is where the human race is going from now on until the next big cycle begins. We're not there yet. We're in this topping off party, if you want to call it that, this time where the East and West can merge back together and we can move forward as a more knowing and a more participatory and a more connected type of people.
So this is since 1982 largely, and isn't that when the millennial generation that they refer to,
right,
the millennials,
right,
started coming,
right,
in? Because they're the ones.
The millennials are the first generation, again, that we've ever had that views the world through a screen. They're also the first generation we have had, I don't even know how far back, that are so diverse that you can't really, you really can't understand them overall, because, well, you know, I'm going to broach a subject here, and it's called astrology, and it's called the planet Pluto. Pluto is the generational planet.
Yeah.
And it's the millennials that had Pluto going in and out three times in their birthing years. So going from one sign to another three times in their birthing years. And we don't have any other generation that has happened to, at least, you know, going back as several hundred years that I did. So we've got then the millennials very distinctively different. You've got waves of millennials that are distinctly different than the other.
But as a general rule, they're the ones that are pushing social conscience in all our social networks right now.
Oh, absolutely. And then the 911s and the Aquarians, I go into the generations to come. I go into the signatures, the energy signatures of each one. So, but you know, I want to do a little fun thing here before we just leap off into the blue, and that is because of haplotype research. Haplotypes are blood types.
Yeah.
And I love all this research that's going on now with genomes.
On the metabolic, the metabolic type is corresponds to the blood type.
Well, it's just crazy what's going on now, and so in the haplotype research, they found some very interesting things. They have found that the earliest female gender goes back to about 150,000 years ago, maybe 200,000 years ago. Earliest male gender only goes back 60,000 to 100,000 years ago. So we've got easily over 150,000 years or more where there were females but no males.
Huh.
You know, it's one of those things that sort of catches you. It's like, oops.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, you know, we could have had both genders, you know. I mean, I don't know, but I'm reminding you that I'm waving a little flag. And in the study of the haplotypes, they found one that they cannot trace to any place on the planet. It's called the X haplotype. And most of these people are your Berbers and your Basque, you know, the Basque people.
Yeah.
They're not French, they're not Spanish, and they know it. They are distinctively different. This is the X haplotype. And it cannot be traced to any place on planet Earth.
You know, they're finding all kinds of off-planet DNA. And it fascinates me because there has been a lot of research on that, that we're carrying a lot of alien DNA, so to speak.
You know, it's just getting more and more fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a good share of the people from Scotland are actually Egyptians. Egyptians! You know, and so you do all these studies, and it just blows your mind. So many of what we think are African Americans cannot trace their lineage back to Africa, believe it or not.
That's
and so it just topples everything. So when we're looking at the new kids, we're really looking at the world that we're with eyes wide open. We're looking at the world and seeing it differently, and realizing that what we were taught in school, what our religions teach us, what our schools teach us, it is not quite so.
No,
migration groups were different. I get real excited about this because it's just really. You really have to stop and look and say, you know, what I was taught in esoteric traditions, what I was taught in mysticism, what I was taught in school, what I was taught in church, all of that is up for grabs.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think, well, okay, we're on the spiritual path and we're knowledgeable about the esoteric traditions and mysticism and we have all this knowing. Well, guess what? Even that is subject to challenge.
Well, so, one of my favorite takes on that is that what's going on with spontaneous evolution of our DNA because of the surge in the source field with galactic alignment right now.
Well, you know we're in the
photon belt, yeah.
Photon belt, and so we're seeing all kinds of strange and wonderful and
scary things,
and they're all happening a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to be careful here even with that because a lot of the claims that are being made in genetics are not holding up in true research, like all those claims made about children born with HIV and all this kind of stuff, and they're able to heal themselves. Absolutely none of those claims have held up, not one.
Yeah, and I think it's good for the listeners to know that you're training as a researcher, and your background going all the way back to when you were
you got to check this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I want to make another little sort of claim here about myself. I was born with synesthesia and dyslexia, and by the time I was 5 years old, I was doing double-blind studies with research group or with the two different groups, so that I could verify and know what was real.
Huh.
And I taught myself how to read and how to think and all of this. You know, I was doing all those kinds of things when I was 9 years old, and you know, I did all a bunch of stuff as a kid.
You processed in a different way.
I certainly did. I processed in a very different way. And, you know, that's what the new kids do. So
yeah.
I'm definitely one of the new kids. I could not be raised. You know, my mother and father could not raise me. I raised myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
if you have a complaint, you know who to blame.
I was lost in the middle of six kids, so I know that experience of being, you know, kind of on your own.
You know, and I knew the energy world and mass mind and the spirit world, and that was all very real to me as a child and even growing up. So there was a time when I called myself a psychic analyst. You know, I used the left and right brain, and I really prefer to call myself whole-brained.
I like to think of myself.
I want to be all that I can be. So when I got into this work on the new kids, what got me into it was researching children who had had near-death experiences. And
yeah.
I'm looking at their after effects, and I'm seeing that the same or nearly the same after effects are traits that children now being born have. And I'm looking at that, and I say, now wait a minute here, whoops, woo. how can that be? So then while I'm working on the near-death kids, I'm also doing the same kind of research with any kid, trying to find their common denominators, what's happening here, what's going on. And I've written 3 books on that. The first one was The New Children and Near-Death Experiences. If you want a good, solid reference manual to what's happening in the nervous system and the brain, you want that book.
Uh-huh.
And then my second one was Beyond the Indigo Children. And yeah, few people paid any attention to the world beyond. I tried to take people beyond the labels, and people seemed to think I was just selling indigo kids, and I certainly wasn't. And then this is my last one now. This is the coup de grace. This is the one where I really dug deep. I had to.
Yeah.
For me, I had to go deep. I had to go broad. I had to go global because I had to understand for me what is really going on here. And that's what I did. And found out all these incredible patterns, both positive and negative. And one of the things that just brought me to a stop where you relax your shoulders and you go into another dimension and you look at this material and you realize, God, you're really there. There has to be another plan. There has to be a plan. There has to be another hand at work here. Because, and I'll give you the because, in the last decade and a half, most of the uplifts and downturns in the human family globally are happening in thirds.
I like
they
that section of your book. Your book is, that's really interesting. In thirds. Could you explain that?
That's not possible. That's totally impossible. But it is consistent. Let's look at this. 1/3 of the new kids globally have both gene mutations. That means they're coming in as geniuses.
Yeah.
They're scoring standard IQ test 150 to 160 and above into the 200s. Okay? Another 1/3 are just exceptionally smart, intelligent, creative, intuitive, knowing, just incredible kids. Even if they're flunking into school and can't spell, don't let that fool you one little bit. They're only doing that because they're bored.
Yeah, they're bored.
And the other 1/3 are coming in either violent or amoral, or sociopaths. And it's holding. It's holding globally. 1/3, 1/3, 1/3.
That's
you look at your, you take another look at this genius. You know, 1/3 have both gene mutations, so they're just incredibly intelligent kids. And another 1/3, you know, have a standard score, but they're still geniuses in their own way. You get these learning disabled kids, especially autistic kids, and if you have them take the Raven's test instead of the Wechsler test. The Wechsler test, the standard IQ test, tests for crystallized intelligence. The Raven's test checks for fluid intelligence. If you have learning disabled or learning disordered or autistic, especially the autistic kids, have the autistic kids take the Raven's test. If you do that, one-third come out
geniuses.
Scoring
Whoa.
150 and above.
Huh.
Okay, let's go a little bit further here with our learning disordered. About two-thirds of the kids with autism are boys. One-third are girls. It flips with dyslexia. Now,
huh.
the numbers with that aren't quite as solid as with boys, but it's close. About two-thirds are girls. About one-third are boys. Take a look at that.
That's
about
really
one-third of these kids have no sense of living a full life. Two-thirds have no intention of ever marrying, going to college, or having children.
Interesting.
And the thirds just keep running and running and running, and they've been doing this statistically for a decade and a half. Now, that's not...
And this is worldwide. This is worldwide.
This is worldwide.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
And it,
so
know,
what is it,
it depends on what stats you look at, but I'm looking at the general stats, and I'm keeping track of those stats, and it's holding. And I'm looking at that and say, no, wait a minute here, because I know a little bit about sacred geometry.
Yeah, there's some kind of triune checks and balances going on here.
The thirds are the universal language of balance, beauty, and harmony.
Yep, the Trinity.
Okay. Go back to the thirds that are coming in. One-third geniuses. One-third exceptional. One-third. And they're also smart, but heading toward violence or amoral behavior or sociopath. The thirds are balance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at that.
Yeah.
You have to get off your soapbox, and you got to look square at what's happening here and say there's another hand at work.
Understanding of the order of the universe, how it's all in divine order.
Right. The positives and the negatives are in divine order. And if you look at indigo, people are touting indigo, and they're just looking at the positives. The negative of indigo is that amoral social path.
Oh, you know, what's fascinating to me is that you've got the sociopath, the psychopath, the love of power, and then you've got on the other, you might say, complementary opposite checks and balances is the power of love, and then
right.
in the middle third, you've got the wisdom to know the difference.
Oh, beautifully put, Christopher. Beautifully put. Absolutely beautifully put. And the new kids don't look at gender like we do. There's almost half, not quite. Actually, it's about a little over a third, but it's moving closer to half, are bisexual.
Yeah.
And they don't look at gender like we do.
They're not hung up on relationships of all kinds.
Not.
Yeah.
And so
the heart loves
changes.
The heart loves what the heart loves.
That changes a lot of things. It also changes ethics and compassion.
Yeah.
You sort of have to sit down and take a look at that and say, wait a minute. Now, let's put this in the mix. Okay. They don't look at gender as we do. Guess what? There's a lot of hermaphrodites being born now.
Yeah. That's interesting.
More so than ever before, we're getting a lot of hermaphrodites coming in with both sexes.
You got a lot of switch hitters. You got a lot of women in men's bodies and a lot of men in women's bodies.
Yeah. we can't really depend on what we used to. We have to look at things differently. So having given that little bit of groundwork here, and that's just very, very small. I mean, the book goes deeply into employment and education and
the all kinds of dimensions
money
of this.
And,
all kinds of dimensions of this. And that's what I love about the book, the way you do that. Yeah. There. And
but then we get to your subject, which is the fifth world.
Yeah. The fifth root race, the fifth element, the fifth chakra. I mean, the law of correspondence is fifth brain wave, you know, gamma waves, the fifth dimension, you know,
you have to look at your correlates. You have
it's
to.
It's amazing. It's to me, and you go into each of these references I've got, whether it be the element or chakra or the brain.
You know,
brain.
I left one out. I'm so sorry.
And
that's the fifth basic force. There is a fifth. It's the torsion waves.
Torsion waves?
Yeah, we now have torsion waves. Torsion waves can be influenced by consciousness. It passes through all shielding. It is not weakened by distance. Torsion waves are used for energy healing, has a role in the life process as the spin of elementary particles.
So we're talking quantum science here.
Well, one spins to the left, the other spins to the right. The one slows time, the other speeds it up.
Interesting.
One increases order, the other decreases order. Your torsion waves, Christopher, are the information carriers of the universe. They ensure that nothing is ever lost.
So they transmit order. Is that like the Taurus fields on an atomic to galactic level that is like a black hole, white hole transceiver that connects the web of light?
Well, you can go that route, except that you need to get more actually into the flow of energy itself, because your torsion waves are what warp and modify space and time.
Interesting. Whoa. Well, you have so many other corollaries that will fit this fifth, you know, this...
Well, they all came into being or were accepted after 1982. So...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there was little tinges of the fifth dimension, you know, back in the hippie era in the 70s, but that was just, you know, it was kind of a flighting phenomena.
Yeah. It's like the old saying, you know, if you remember the hippie area, you weren't there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you can remember it, you weren't there.
Yeah, if you really experienced the hippie era in a sense, it never left you.
Oh, that's true too.
I'm fascinated.
But the fifth dimension, people are forgetting here. I want to get into the fifth dimension. I want to raise my consciousness. I want to go there. And what they're forgetting is that nothing is hidden in the fifth dimension. All is revealed. Intention directs movement. So you've got to be careful what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's pure intention.
And your intention.
It's pure intention that focuses attention with love's retention in the fifth dimension.
Well, you're getting cute, but that's true.
and this thing of the fifth element, or that you sometimes refer to as ether, you know, there's been a lot of in the mysteries, and even the Christian mysteries, they talk about the city four square, the four square gospel. And the mysteries, they talk about the pyramid of self and civilization, the four sides, and the fifth corner is, of course, the capstone, which is God vision. I mean, it's the etheric knowing, intuitive.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
We're in the fifth world with the fifth root race.
And this is part of the phenomenon, I think, when I say a revolution in higher consciousness with a new social conscience is emerging with these social networks, you know, where people are, I mean, everything is being unveiled. There's, you know, it's all the mysteries are coming out, and people are connecting the dots and getting the big picture.
Everything is revealed.
Yeah.
And with it comes that step that says, slow down. Wait a minute here. Listen. You know,
yeah.
Do you mean what you're doing? What are the ramifications of what you do, like hacking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hacking is wrong. Why are we defending hackers? Wait
yeah.
a minute here. Let's take a look at most of the new kids have no understanding of stealing and lying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even I saw a thing on Steve Jobs the other night. Talked about when he was a kid, he was actually building and marketing a software where people could hack the phone network so they could make phone calls all over the world for free with just a little thing that made digital sounds into your phone that bypassed the computer networks. It was
yeah,
a form of hacking. And
yeah,
it was like,
where's the ethics?
Where's the ethics in that? And yet that's part of his history, you know, that's kind of eulogized with this great genius.
Right,
you know?
Right. You know, so we're faced with all of this. How do we define the undefinable?
Yeah.
And we're being faced with that. Let me give you a quick coup de grace here, even above and beyond what I've already mentioned, because we're talking about fives.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's take a deep breath. Talk about fives. In the 5th century after Christopher Columbus, which is now, we are in the 5th century after Christopher Columbus. We have now entered the 2nd homogenesis since the time of the dinosaurs. The first one was caused by Christopher Columbus. Within 100 years of him having ever put a footprint in the Americas, which was also accompanied by rats and bacteria and viruses and malaria that his men brought to the Americas, and all other kinds of diseases, within 100 years of him coming here, 1 in 5 people across the world died from diseases,
really?
Multiple types of slavery, brutal working conditions, industrialization, hunger, environmental destruction, and on. If you
yeah.
want to, if you want to verify this, get the book 1493. By Charles C. Mann, M-A-N-N. Christopher Columbus brought us the birth of the modern world, which was wonderful. It opened up the East and West. It did us all a favor, but the cost was high.
Yeah.
The second one has now begun. This one was caused, in my opinion, by Monsanto and core manipulation of genes.
Yeah, there's like mass, really, in one
it's
sense.
It's already started.
It's
our
like a mass.
Homogenesis has begun.
It's like
genetic
a
genetic modification. Yeah.
Genetic modification.
This will change the chemical codes of every living thing.
Well, we're talking massive genocide already going on now,
well,
and it's not
maybe
being
it's
reported.
Genocide, maybe it's not, because remember, with Christopher Columbus, good came from it.
Yeah,
it
true.
Was,
I
it
mean,
was horrible,
it's how you it's how you look at it. It's like, in an eternal scheme of things, you know, you look at and it's difficult
well,
sometimes.
Well,
to...
the key here, Christopher, because we've got to look at this.
Yeah.
Okay, East and West are now coming back together. You know, they were pushed apart by Christopher Columbus. They're
yeah.
being pulled back together again. The secret is diversity. If you can keep diversity, plants, people, culture, traditions, language, if you can keep the diversity within the one.
Within the one.
Then
so unity and diversity is what we're talking
unity
about.
Diversity and unity.
Diversity,
if
unity,
we
yep.
can keep the diversity, we'll move through this into an age that we can't even imagine, really. I mean, some of us try, and we're moving that way. But if we can keep the diversity, so I'm telling everybody, keep the old seeds, plant the old seeds. Use the old seeds for tomatoes and celery and all
heritage
that stuff.
Heritage seeds, yeah.
Yeah, the heritage seeds. There's ways of dealing with this, and I talk about it in the book. There's positive ways of dealing with this. When you read the book, there's a lot of celebration in there.
Yeah.
I mean, we are coming into our own in a way none of us really thought would happen, that has both the good and the not so good, the dreams and the horror. You know, it's all coming together in this very exciting and confrontive way. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. It doesn't matter what your background is. What matters is that you face it and you see it. This is what's coming. This is what's here now.
Well, the law of thirds, or the principle of thirds, this trinity, it's like the process of thesis, antithesis, synthesis. You know, unity and diversity, rather than the dialectic, which is divide to conquer.
Right.
The co-creation process of
we're going the other way
of conscious evolution is a synergy and a synthesis and a singularity and a synchronicity that is all, it's all one. But it's in process. It's a creative co-creation process.
Yeah.
That is really that Trinity, that Holy Trinity again.
Well, there's more in the book about the Higgs boson and what that means and all this stuff. It's like it just blows your mind.
It absolutely blows
your mind. And we're there. We're there at the blow your mind party, and we're looking at this. And instead of being discouraged, I'm going hip hip hooray. Because, you know, I find this very exciting. I really do. And, you know, all of the problems we have, all of those so-called problems can be used to see things differently. It's just like today, just now, before you called, I had a flood in the basement. I have a guy down there, who a wonderful builder construction person, who's remodeling our utility room, and he took out the old sink. We got a new sink. He's going to put it in, and the pipes all burst.
Oh, geez.
And he's got this huge mess. And of course, I'm a writer, so I've got a lot of stuff, paper on the floor. So, you know, what could have been an absolute disaster, I had lots and lots and lots of rags, so he sopped up the water, he turned the water off and sopped it up very quickly so nothing was damaged. And he looked at me in absolute undoneness, and I said to him, isn't this wonderful? We had an opportunity to find out how old and rickety these pipes were, and now we can get them all replaced before we continue with the remodeling.
Oh.
So, you know.
You see the opportunity with the problem rather than the problem with the opportunity.
Now, I think you wanted me to mention something about future memory before we sign off.
I did, and if you could kind of repurpose what you've done with the book, I guess you've republished it.
Well, you know, an interesting thing happened. Future Memory is a book I wrote. It's part of my research in Near Death. It's a book I wrote,
mm-hmm.
Way back in the 90s. Let me explain a little bit about Future Memory.
Okay.
When I died, and I did, I died three times in 3 months in 1977. And a voice spoke to me in my third near-death experience. It was so huge. It wasn't like an angel or a guardian or a guide or any of that stuff. It was just so huge. It filled the entire universe. And my sense was it was of God. And that voice said, and I quote, test revelation. You are to do the research, one book for each death. It did not name book one. It did name book two. And book two is Future Memory. That voice named that book, and then it named book three, and it showed me what was to be in each book, but it didn't tell me how to do it or how long it would take me to do the work. So for the last three and a half decades, I've been doing this work. And the real puzzle for me was future memory, because I knew it had to be in there, but I didn't know how to do it. And I wrote that book seven different formats. I'm not saying seven times. I'm saying seven different formats, because I'm the type of person that I take my manuscripts, and they all have to go out for peer review before I give them to a publisher. So I get the peer review back, and my compadres would say, well, this is wonderful material, but it doesn't make sense. And, you know, I tried seven different times. I get the same report back. So I finally decided, okay, apparently I just did this book for myself, and I'm going to burn it. So on the day that I was going to just throw it away and burn it, I was taking a shower. I got out of the shower. I was halfway out of the shower. And suddenly space expands and time disappears. And the air fills up with all these sparkles, these incredible sparkles. And this voice spoke, and it said, turn it into a labyrinth, and I will show you how.
Huh.
So, you know, in 2 weeks, I turned it around. Every sentence, every paragraph, every page in the book, Future Memory, is part of the math that I was able to use to create a real labyrinth. It is not a book. It is a labyrinth, just like a sight labyrinth. And you read it the same way that you walk through a sight labyrinth. In other words, when you open the book, you're at the mouth of the labyrinth. You stay on the path. If you skip read it, you know, the book falls apart, and you can't make any sense out of it. So stay on the path. It'll switch and change directions on you, just like a real labyrinth. Stay on the path for the end of the book.
That's why I like to read that book, at least review it every year, just go through it from the beginning, because there's just so much there that reads like it, in a sequence of persuasion from the there's a flow with it that just goes deeper and deeper and more connected, and it's just amazing.
Well, it's just like any labyrinth, Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Any labyrinth will take your mind up to the next highest octave possible for you at that time. That's why labyrinths are healers. They lift your mind. That book is a brain changer. It is a psychotronic device.
Yeah, I believe that.
Just came out again about 3 weeks ago. Hampton Roads, who publishes it, gave me a great cover finally. And the notes in the resource section have been updated. And then the first kind of like mini chapter before chapter one, it's called The Purpose of This Book. I took out the original, threw it away, and put in instead the real scoop, what the book is, why it was written the way it is. And so the real honest scoop of, you know, that issue is now in the book. You now know why it was written, the way it was written, and what it really is. That book is alive. The idea is, why just read books?
Yeah.
Why not read or work through an adventure that will work on you as you read it and will enable you to move up in your consciousness?
I call it involving and evolving conscience.
Yeah, that's what the book is. So Future Memory is out there. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, how do I handle this subject in radio shows? Because the book is interactive. And so I did one show where I did that with Dr. Susan Kolb. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. And she let me just run with it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking to myself, you know, the average radio show, I don't know that they're really ready for something like Future Memory.
Well, you know, what it does for me, it opens things up enough toward the concept of there is no time or space, and in the eternal scheme of things, the future has already happened, just as the past has already happened,
mm-hmm.
because there's a continuum, and in the continuum, you know, it's, and so the future memory, what it opened me up to the understanding of the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Yeah.
It's
creation,
right? And so the co-creation thing of you know, and that's where the invisible hand comes in. How we can be the, you might say, an instrument in the creator's hand with a co-creation process that involves and evolves our individual and collective consciousness.
Yeah. Well, you know, future memory is one of the after effects of near-death states. So
yeah.
if you get my book,
okay.
Do we have time?
We have about a few minutes left.
If you get my book, Near-Death Experiences, the Rest of the Story, that's a summary of my work with thousands and thousands of people, you come to realize that the near-death experience is not any kind of anomaly, but is rather part of the larger genre of transformations of consciousness.
That's
you
right.
You can tell that by the after effects. It's the pattern of physiological and psychological after effects.
Yeah.
They're
and
all
it, and
threshold experiences.
Threshold experiences, the veil thins, a cosmic sense of the infinite and the eternal and the here and now. The future memory is excellent for that. This Children of the Fifth World, I just want to say, Dr. Atwater, it's been my real pleasure reading it. There are gems in there, what I consider extraordinary gems. The perspective of ancient esoteric wisdom with modern science where it meets. I'd encourage everyone listening, if you have a chance, to get that book. Like I say, it's available.
And get on my website, www.pmhatwater.com. Sign up for my free monthly newsletter.
There you go. And I'm so grateful, Dr. Atwater, for you being on this show. This has been a real joy for me. And look forward to doing this again. Maybe we can get together
here.
Yeah,
I'd love that. You take good care of yourself, Christopher.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you on those cosmic highways. And happy trails till we meet again. Thanks to everyone. Thank you, Dr. Atwater. Bye for
now.
Thank
you.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.